All right. You got your Bibles. Let's go to the 85th song in God's songbook. Yes, sir.
I wanted to share one other thing. You just talking about one thing you watch God do is deal relationships. And He's definitely done that with me and my dad.
Yes. Sure has. And it's one of the blessings that we've gotten to watch is Chad's, the way he's restored Chad to life and to health, and then not only in his body, in his work, but in his family. Thank God for that. We're in the 85th song. Now, you know where we're going to start. We're going to start back at the beginning. You're going to walk. Now, because I've taken so much time, let's do this as quickly as possible. I wake up last night, middle of the night, TV is on. And it's on one of those infomercials. And I thought, this is perfect introduction for our class. Because it was all of the love songs of the 50s. I thought so too. But what it was, I was dreaming while I was listening, so the songs were getting mixed up in my, they were part of my dream. But they only sing like three or four words of a song, right? Breaking up is hard to do. Ooh, I can sing it, but that's all I can sing of that song. Every song on there were the songs I sang as a kid, but that's all I ever learned. So I guess that's all I ever played. But I got to thinking, that's all we want to do is just one stanza or one phrase from these songs. We want to remember them. Chapter 73, Song 73. What's your phrase? What's your stanza? What's your few words you're going to remember? Man, I might have envied the wicked. I might have envied how everything works out good for them until I entered the sanctuary of God. And then I understood their final destiny. There is a final destiny. All right, verse 74. I'm not going to reteach it. We don't have time. 74. Rise up and defend your cause. I've seen it and thank God for it. 75. Verse 1, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. All right, 76. Verse 11, make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. I want to make sure we understand. I won't reteach it. I want to make sure we understand. Underline that, fulfill them. This is not encouraging you to make a vow thinking God somehow is going to make a deal with you. God, I promise I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. No, it's not about bargaining. It's about you keeping your vow. You promised it, you keep it. All right, keep going. 77. Verse 10. Give me that verse so everybody can find it. Verse 10, if you haven't marked these yet. Then I thought. I love that phrase. Not that I felt, not that I reacted, not that I had a hunch, not that I had an intuition. I had a thought. I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. If you will look, and we're going to get to that tonight. If you'll look at the way God has dealt with people in the past, if you'll look at the way God has dealt with you in the past, you can have some inkling as to how God is going to deal with you in the future. Prove it to you here in a minute. 78.
Can I ask a question before you go to
78? Yes,
ma'am. What was the one you talked about, the jealousy of the wicked, when I saw there?
70 what?
73.
73. Very good student, Candy. 73.
73 what?
17. 17. All right. 78.
4.
Verse 4. What's the phrase? We will not hide it from their children, and we will tell it to the next generation. Let us make sure, and I'm glad. I am so glad. One of the good things God does for us here is He puts some people in this place that love kids, and they love to teach kids. And I know we all love children. Outside. And I know we all just crave to be in their presence. For a short period of time. I mean, we love kids, but isn't it a good thing that there are people that will take our kids next door and teach them and sing with them and play with them and make them feel loved and all that? Yeah, I love that. But do not put the responsibility for teaching your children on them. That's our responsibility. That's your responsibility. That's Mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, big brother, big sister, babysitter, or just church brother or sister, okay? All right, 79. 79. Little Josh is singing to help us remember. 79. What's the verse? Verse 9. Help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. How about 80? He said it. We said it more than three times, but he said it three times the same way. Restore us, O God Almighty. Verse 7 is the one I marked. Restore us, O God Almighty, and make your face shine upon us so that we may be saved. 81. Verse 10. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. God will give us good things. Has given us good things. Will give us good things. Let's keep our mouths open to receive those good things. 82. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. I don't have to worry. If I'm going to win this argument or not. I don't have to worry if my position gets accepted by everybody around me. No. Because the Lord is the one that's going to judge the nations. And there will be a day. May not be today. I doubt if it'll be by Thursday. But there will be a day when God makes everything right. All right, 83. Verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God. Be not still. 84. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. I want you to look at the next phrase just to remember, okay? Just in case we forgot it during the week. No good thing does He withhold. No good thing does He withhold. If there is something good in your life, if something good in your life is missing, it's not God withholding it. All right, 85. If anybody writes down 14, you're going to be in trouble because the Lord said don't add to the word, all right? So Candy, do something with him.
I've been trying
for a long time. Yeah. Let's read the song. Let's read the song since none of you people with musical talent has chosen to write a song about it. Let's get on it. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Now we're going to stop a second just to make the point. Notice those things are in past tense. You showed favor, restored the fortunes, forgave the iniquity, and covered the sins. Do you see it? You set aside your wrath. That was past tense. Does anybody, any Bible student, anybody that's been reading their Bible for any length of time, tell me a time when God did that for His people? Now you got to stay in Old Testament. You got to stay in Old Testament. But give me a time when God forgave, He showed favor to His people. When did He forgive the iniquity of His people? When did He set aside His wrath? Aaron? Well, after God judged them in that moment, remember? Then He forgave them. Moses stood between God and them and said, take me instead of them. And God said, no, let me handle this my way. And then He did, and then He forgave them. He showed them favor again. Give me one more example. How about Adam and Eve? An incredible, just a simple little story. Told by God, don't eat that tree or you'll die. They ate that fruit of that tree and they're driven from the presence of God. They're driven from the presence of God and they are going to die physically, though now they've died spiritually, separated from God. But before God ever drove them from His presence, He did two jumped to my mind. One is He gave them coats of skin. God took the lives of innocent animals to take their coats to cover Adam and Eve. Now, what's interesting to me, it wasn't because the weather was going to change, folks. It wasn't the weather going to be different outside the garden, I don't think. I think he was to cover their shame. They were embarrassed about being naked, and God cared about their feeling of shame. God has that kind of heart. But the best thing he did, he made a promise. He told the devil, said, "It's coming, buddy. There's a seed coming from a woman one of these days. It's going to crush your head." And he began what he had planned before, that one day a baby born in Bethlehem, missed by his mama when he was 12, baptized by his cousin when he was 30, crucified by the hands of lawless men when he was 33. He raised that boy from the dead, crushed the serpent's head, and tore the gates off of hell, and made it possible for all of us to come with boldness into the throne of grace. God has done this in the past. Now, there's tons more examples. You want to go back, and those of you who are real Bible, have been Bible students a long time, you look in books like 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. I mean, you'll see that God drives them off their land because they have not obeyed Him. They've abused the privileges they've had. And then God will bring them back with Ezra and Nehemiah. He'll bring them back and restore to them His favor. These people have looked at the past, and they're begging for that to take place in their future. The same thing, folks, is true of us. Has God ever shown us favor?
Yes.
Yeah, and but here's what happens. It's when we're not, when we don't feel the favor, what do we tend to do?
We tend to forget,
and we begin to act like somehow God is against us. I've got a text on my phone. I can show you where there's a list of things that we just don't seem right, that somehow God isn't making it clear what His purpose is. But the truth is, God has shown favor in every one of those things listed. God has shown His favor. We have seen it in the past. Folks, that means it is possible for us to see it in the future. So we don't lose hope. We don't give up. Keep reading. Has He ever forgiven our iniquities? So if He forgave us while we were enemies, and for those of you who want to take the notes, you ought to mark in your margin Romans chapter 5. But if God forgave us while we were enemies, if God forgave us while we were weak, while we were ungodly, if God forgave us while we were rebellious against Him, if He caused His Son to die when we were being jerks, how much more now is He going to love us? How much more now is He going to save us? How much more now is He going to do for us to get us to heaven? There were children. We don't have to go through what Jesus went through. Jesus took care of that for us. All right. Now here's His prayer. Verse 4. Here's the prayer about right now. Here's the present. All right. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away Your displeasure toward us when You're hurting. When you think that God is not showing you favor, He is not restoring your fortunes, He is not forgiving your sins, when you think God is still angry with you, here's how you pray. Restore us. God, turn Your wrath away. Turn away Your displeasure toward us. Keep reading. Will You be angry with us forever? What's the answer to that question?
No.
No, He's not going to be angry with us forever. Now, does He have a right to be?
Yes.
Yeah, honest, does He have a right to be?
Yes.
Most of the things that cause us great consternation are caused by what? Better question. Caused by whom? Look at the mess that came up in my life. Look at some of the things I still struggle with and ask. Ask me. How did you get in that position? How did that happen? How did you get in this situation? Or how did that occur to you? And the reason is because I messed up. It wasn't God doing it. It was me doing it. It was me facing the consequences of my decisions. He told me early in life, you reap what you sow. I just went out there and sowed and didn't expect to reap. And then bang, what happened?
You reaped.
I got a little bit of reaping, and that's when the weeping started, all right? Will you be angry with us forever? No, he won't be. Thank God he won't be. Will you prolong your anger through all generations? I love this. I love that when these folks talk generations, they have a right. They have a right. How long, Bible students, how long were they in Egypt? Over 400 years. Okay, now think, 400 years? And they were being mistreated during many of those 400 years, and they were praying for God to send a deliverer for most of those 400 years. Now, how many lifetimes do you have to live in 400 years? 10. Their generation was a 40-year span. 10 generations. Folks, that means you started praying and your children didn't see it. Your children's children didn't see it. Only your children's children's children, 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 children got to see it. When would you have quit praying?
Never.
Oh, don't. Yeah. I don't believe. I don't buy that. What do? I'd have quit by Thursday. Lord, I've been praying since 15 minutes ago, you know. And are we not conditioned, and maybe it's the whole world is this way, but I don't know the whole world right now, but I know what. It's our culture, folks. We are so convinced that we got to get it fixed, and we got to get it fixed right now. Our food has to be fast. Everything has got to be right now. We have no patience to wait for anything good. You want to confirm that? Look at your credit card bill. And look at something you charged that you drank up already, smoked up already, ate up already, did whatever you did with it already, and you're still going to be paying the minimum payment for the next 10 years. I'm telling you, we've done it, haven't we? We want it right now. I got to have it right now. Well, hang on a minute. Let God have some time to work. He will not prolong His anger for generations. They wondered about 400 years. I have trouble with 4 days. And don't, I know you. You talk to me. We talk. You got the same problem. Well, I don't know what's wrong, man. I've been praying. How long have you been praying? Thursday. Okay, so you've been praying since Thursday. Give God some time. Will you prolong your anger through all generations? The answer is no. Will you revive us again and your people may rejoice in you? The answer has got to be
yes.
And if you can't say yes, you at least can say, I hope. I hope. Show us your unfailing love and grant us your salvation. Now, time out. Stop. I don't know how many times I've read this psalm. Don't know how many times I've read this psalm. Don't know how many times I've ever preached it back when I was a preacher. I don't know how many times I've ever heard it preached since I was a kid going to church right after Pentecost. I've heard a bunch of preaching this stuff, and I never heard this thought, and it dawned on me today. I'm sitting at work doing something that I never do. I'm in jail. Yeah, I'm sitting in jail. That's what I should have said. I'm sitting in jail, and I've got the Bible on this cell phone of mine. And I hit it. Well, I really did this when I was driving home. I wasn't texting, I was reading. I didn't say it wasn't bad. I was confessing. Oh, it has a thing that reads to me. Of course, I'd forgotten to turn that on. But I'm reading along, and it dawns on me something. So sometimes good can come out of something stupid. All right? It says, show us your unfailing love. Who are they addressing? Who are they addressing? And I know you're going to say God. I know you're going to say the Lord. But who is it? It's the one they think that is angry with them. The one they think has left them. The one that they believe has rejected them. Now folks, you know why that struck me? It's because there have been times in my life, and I know there's times in yours because you share them with me, that you get so tired of fighting the uphill. You get so tired of fighting that addiction. You get so tired of fighting that prejudice. You get so tired of fighting that cycle of poverty. You get so tired of fighting that perception people have of you, of being that kind of person because of that kind of thing you did. You get so tired of it, you just want, what you want is the heavens open and the angels are saying, "Ah," and everything to be okay. But when it's not okay, we begin to forget that God is still a God of unfailing love. That means folks that can't fail. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. God's love will never fail for you. Well, you just don't understand, Rex. You don't understand how bad I... Yeah, because you told me. And yeah, you've been bad. Can't say you were any worse than I was. Suspect you didn't even come close to doing what I did. But the truth is, His love is unfailing love. Keep reading. His unfailing love will grant us salvation. They still recognize that even though God may be angry with them, even though God may extend His anger for many generations, they still believe that God is a God of unfailing love and He is the God of salvation. That means you don't turn anywhere else. You don't look anywhere else, man. The answer for your questions, the problem, solutions for your problems are in God. It's in His unfailing love. And I'm going to underline it one more time. I'm going to underline it one more time. Let's just make that our verse. Let's make that our stanza. Show us your unfailing love. An unfailing love does not fail. An unfailing love does not fail. One more time. An unfailing love does not fail. Then He makes His promise. That was His prayer. Now listen to His promise. Now folks, before you start making this promise, you can read it and not be guilty of it. But if you get home tonight, you start praying this prayer, and you get ready to make this promise, then you make sure you keep this promise. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. Oh, really? Really? I got a question for some of us, starting with me. How many times have you begged God to rescue you? How many times have you asked God to bail you out? And some of us literally bail us out. How many times have you asked God to get us out of a jam and say, God, if you do it this time, man, I promise I will. And then you just fill in the blank. How long did you keep that promise? You didn't keep it, right? He says, I will listen to what the Lord will say. Folks, that's a good start. That's a great start. Listen to what the Lord has to say. It'll be amazing what could change in your life. It'd be amazing what could change in your life if you just started listening to what the Lord had to say. He promises peace to His people, His saints, but let them not return to folly. Okay, so He says, you listen to what the Lord has to say, His promises that there'll be peace. Okay, there's going to be peace. But if we're going to get that peace from the Lord, what does He not want us to do?
Return
to folly. Now, what's the opposite of folly? You Proverbs reader, what's the opposite of folly?
Wisdom.
So He says, if you're going to listen to what the Lord says, that's wisdom, you don't give up the wisdom and go back to folly. Now, is there anybody in here, willing to testify that God rescued you, God saved you, God helped you, God blessed you, God favored you, and then after He gave you the blessings, after He gave you the salvation, after He gave you the favor, you went back to folly. In case, if you're willing to testify to that, just sit there and keep breathing. Amen. Your point? Because that's how we've lived our lives. Now, some of us did it publicly, and everybody knew it, worldwide in my case. Others of us did it, but nobody ever knew it because we weren't going to talk to anybody or tell anybody. But whether it's known or unknown, public or private, let's don't go back to folly. Keep reading. Surely His salvation is near those who fear Him, that His glory may dwell in our land. Now verse 10, our time is just about up, so I want to focus on verse 10. this makes sense to me, okay? I am not a biblical scholar. I'm not a language expert. If you're a professor type person and you take the Hebrew or the Greek, they'll say you take the words and you define them and do all kinds of things like that to them, and they'll call it you do an exegesis on your passage. I thought, I don't want Jesus to exit my passage, so I didn't do those kind of things, all right? So here's what I'm telling you. The verse sounds like it says to me, love and faithfulness meet together. Folks, that means if you're looking for faithfulness, it's coming your way, but you need to be doing what? You need to make sure you need to handle your part. Love and faithfulness will meet together. That's the promise. But you got to take one side or the other. You cannot stand by. You cannot stand back. You cannot be a spectator and not participate in love or faithfulness and then meet. This is not a spectator sport where you say, all right, come on, love. Look, come on, faithfulness. I got $2 on faithfulness. And then rounding the curve. Now, this is not people. What was the name of that place in history where they decided what they wanted to do was they wanted to put two locomotives on the same track facing each other, and the people just gathered to watch them crash because they thought that'd be cool. People got killed everywhere, you know. That's one of the things you learn in school. It's a word problem at math. Half. What direction is the smoke going on an electronic train? It's not. There is no smoke. All right, on an electric train. Keep going. You got to participate. That's the point. All right. Husband, do you want faithfulness? Then you focus on love. And I'm not talking about Hollywood, and I'm not talking about her. I just get tired of being mean to Oprah. She doesn't have a job anymore. It's not about Hollywood. It's not about Disney. It is not Disney, folks. It's not country western music. If loving you is right or wrong, I don't want to be right. No, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about what God says. Patient. Kind. Ooh, did you read that? Yeah, but you don't understand, man. She's just a jerk. Yep, I know her. She is. But it doesn't say you're supposed to be patient. You're supposed to be kind. You're not supposed to be jealous. You're not supposed to be rude. You're not supposed